To say that the X line has been on a little bit of a hiatus is a pretty big understatement. And it kind of stinks because I only had one legitimate episode out of the way. And so I'm going to spend this semi-episode explaining the hiatus. The first and foremost is that it simply was work. I have a day job, and I also photograph weddings. And my schedule just didn't permit me to sit down, write an episode, and record an episode. That's part of it. Last year was also a time of a lot of changes for me, both artistically with photography and, you know, my day-to-day living with a wife and two kids. It's been an adventure. The wife and kids, that's a really big fun part. So I'm not complaining there. They absolutely take first priority. No, I'm here to talk about just the artistic endeavor. Over the summertime, my love for Fuji has always been there, but it shifted considerably. Previously, I used the Fuji X-E2 along with the 35mm lens, and that's been my go-to lens. It's my favorite combination. I love photographing at the 50mm range, and when it came to photographing weddings, it just, I don't know, something just felt missing. I can't put my finger on it, but just something wasn't clicking with me. And I am not blaming the cameras at all. I see people doing some fantastic work with the Fuji system. And my thought was that I was doing something wrong. I wasn't good enough yet to wield this device. It just, for some reason, things weren't clicking. And around that same time, I was having a blast using the Canon 135mm f2 lens, which I was getting some tremendously magical results with portraiture. Now I know I'm comparing apples and oranges here, but it's just, again, it was a weird place, and I just wasn't feeling it with the Fuji. So I ended up selling my Fuji X-E2. I sold the kit lens that came with it. I sold the 35mm lens, and I also sold the 60mm lens, the macro lens that I had purchased like a year earlier. But I wasn't ready to give it up entirely. I sold all of that, but then I purchased the Fuji X100T, and I was just going to use that as my day-to-day camera, you know, something that I would just photograph the family, friends with. That was going to be my street photography vacation camera. So while I was giving up Fuji professionally, in my heart, I could not give up Fuji entirely because I did love the results. And subsequently, I ended up taking the X100 with me to weddings. And, you know, in addition to using my Canons, I would still carry the Fuji with me. And that's how it was for the remainder of the summertime and into the fall. And, you know, I would do the editing process. It was just incredibly busy. It was, you know, churning out wedding photos left and right. And I enjoyed it, but my God, it was just a busy year. And It wasn't until probably November when things started to slow down a bit, and I was looking through some engagement photos that I started to like I was able to slow down. I don't know how to quite put this, but being able to slow down and look at the photos just gave me a whole new perspective. And I was looking through Lightroom and just looking at the photos, I was able to start seeing differences in the image quality. And I noticed that photos that I took with my Canon, they were good. There was just, they were my standard style of photos. But then I would come across my Fuji photos, and I was doing nothing special with them. They were just, regular fun poses with the couple, but there was just something extra that goes into it. There was just a little bit more detail. There was just a little bit more, and I don't know if I was looking into it too much, but there's just a little bit more life to them. There's just something about a Fuji camera that really brings your subject to life. And then I started to look back at some my previous years where I would photograph with the first generation X100 and the Fuji XE2, and I looked through those engagement photos, and again, I was noticing the same thing. Like, I would bring my Canons along, but it was always with the Fujis that really sparked, gave it that spark. And so I had one more wedding to do. It was a December wedding, and I was thinking maybe I've been too hard on Fuji. I mean, I clearly was too hard on Fuji. It was something that, again, I was doubting my own abilities with the cameras. It wasn't so much the camera itself. So I ended up renting the 56 millimeter lens and the Fuji X, the XT10. And when I got the rentals, I rent through lensrentals.com. Great place. They have kind of like an Amazon.com Prime service deal with free shipping. Look into it. It's really cool. Free plug. Congratulations. I just know, I played with the camera. It was really good. I spent a day just kind of getting my bearings straight with the way the camera operates. And then the next day, I photographed the wedding, and my intention wasn't to use the Fuji 100% of the time. On the contrary, I was only expecting to do the portraits with this camera and lens setup. But it turns out that I ended up photographing probably a good half of the wedding using only the Fujis. I would, during the bridal preparation, I used almost exclusively the X100T, and it was just very close quarters. I kind of wish I had the wide angle attachment to it, but I managed to get by with just using the X100, and it just felt so good. The lighting and the bride's room, the way the shadows and the artificial light and the natural light kind of blended together. Fuji just does this amazing thing with light that I just don't get with my Canons. I don't know if it's dynamic range, maybe it is magic. I don't know, but it's just something that felt more real, more alive, and it felt great. And then, when it came time to doing the portraits, I used the XT10 with the 56 millimeter. And I mean, that was just so much fun. during the ceremony itself, I kind of fell back in line with the canon because the lighting was a little bit difficult, and it was still too soon for me to go hog wild with the Fuji. But you know, it still felt great. And then after the ceremony, you know, I got a lot more candid moments with the X100, and again, it just felt good being back. It was, I don't even have a good comparison story. It's kind of like, you know, you leave home. I'll never be back. This place is, you know, so boring, so awful. And I'm going to go out in high adventure and then realize that you're homesick the whole time, and you go home and everything just feels so good, so natural. I don't know. Maybe that's a horrible comparison, but that's kind of how it felt. And so I came back the very next day. I purchased the X-T10 and I purchased the 56 millimeter lens. And then shortly after that, I purchased the brand new 35 millimeter lens. Before I had the previous version, the 1.4 or 1.2, I can't remember offhand. But now I have the F2 weather sealed version, and I was ready to drop money on either another X-T10 or an X-T1. And I was ready to do that up until a few weeks ago when the X-Pro2 information just dropped. And wow, it's been earth shattering. But that's the biggest reason why I've been away for so long. The other, just kind of circling back to my absence. The other reason why I was absent is because I honestly didn't think anybody was listening. Now this is something I'm just kind of doing on the side. Of course, I have a day job. I do, weddings, and I also produce another podcast for iPhone photography called The Tiny Shutter. So when I saw that literally nobody was listening, I think maybe one or two people downloaded the podcast after promoting it, you know, a couple different places. Now, granted, I didn't spend a lot of money on promotional things, but, you know, just there was just nothing coming in. And I thought, you know, maybe this isn't my thing. I was having that little frustration with my own ability, and I thought that the lack of downloads was just a sign that, you know, it's like maybe this is not the right time to be doing a Fuji podcast. It just wouldn't be fair to the listeners, wouldn't be fair to myself, you know, because, you know, I just felt like I'd be trying to fool people, and I don't know, it just didn't seem right. And but I just couldn't shake it. It's, you know, I do love the Fuji system. On top of that, the other reason why I stopped was that some point after episode, making episode one, I found out that there was actually another Fuji podcast out there with Scott Bourne. And Scott Bourne is like one of the photographers out there that are podcasting. It's like, oh man, I really thought I was alone on this one. How can I compete with that? Now, granted, I mean, common sense says that there's room for everybody with podcasting. But again, combined with everything else, that was just one more reason why I thought it was, you know, this was not my time to do anything with an actual show, especially a one-man mic where, you know, I would, you know, it's just literally me talking. And then, you know, after I bought the XT10, I went back to the website. I went back to, you know, maybe, you know, this is something that I should do. And then, you know, I looked at the behind the scenes of the website, looking at the stats, and it's like, no, I remembered why this wasn't working. And then I realized that my stats were not set up properly. And so after a little bit of reconfiguration, I'll spare you guys the detail. The stats were rolling in, and it turns out that people actually were listening to this show. Granted, there's only an episode zero and an episode one, but people were actually downloading it and listening. And then I started to feel horrible because on the one hand, I'm very flattered that people were actually listening. But on the other hand, it's like, oh my God, I have let so many people down by not continuing the show. And I don't know, long story short, that, I don't want to make that mistake again. I don't want to drop that ball, anymore. And while I promise that I will do more episodes, they will be rather infrequent. I will try to do at least two a month, maybe more, maybe less. I gotta see if I could get into a groove. But I have so many stories from the past with using Fuji, just so many magical moments, and I have so many more new ones that are just popping up, and it's just. Again, it's such an awesome camera system, and the people at Fuji have done such a great job at just breathing life into like the fine aspects of photography. Photography is changing so much now with, you know, just how easy it is to make, how easy it is to take a picture, how easy it is to share photos, that I think Fuji has successfully been able to have people slow down and just kind of take a deep breath and take a, you know, take a proper photo. There's also one other person that I have to thank that got me back into really appreciating the Fuji camera system. And his name is Christoph, and he has a website called artsinphotos.com. It's photos with an F, not a PH. He also has artsinphotosphotography.com. Again, photo, the F sound is with an F, not a PH, in photos. I saw his Instagram, and I'll link that in the show notes, but his photos just were just incredible. I loved the wedding photos that he was sharing, and then I realized that he was using the Fuji system in his weddings, and he is a New England photographer as well as, you know, he's all along the East Coast, but I was able to connect with him to kind of talk shop, and he sold me on the idea of trying out the XT10 and giving it a whirl. And so I have him to thank for really helping me kind of get back on the horse. So thank you, Christoph. Hope you're listening. So here's my promise. I will do more episodes. I am going to continue writing the episodes and recording them and sharing stories from my own experience with Fuji, and others as well, those that will share. I'll keep continuing to do that. I know I said it was going to be episode 1 of 8, 2 of 8, but I am going to keep going until I don't know, until I run out of stories, I guess. Now, I am not the perfect photographer. I'm not one of those photographers that has entirely switched to the Fuji system. I'd love to be one of those photographers, but I am not. I still have a lot to learn, and I don't know if the X-Pro 2 is going to help me be a little quicker on the draw. But for those of you who do use Fuji, know that there is a bit of a learning curve when it comes to the autofocusing system. Back button focus, that's helped a little bit, but it's, still, I'm not really great with manual focus. Anyway, so there are other photographers out there that, like, I mean, Kevin Mullins, he's like the best wedding photographer when it comes to using the Fuji system, in my opinion. Christoph is another great one that I just mentioned a few minutes ago. While it's great that they can use the system, and that's something that I'm aspiring to do, is to being able to ditch my Canons and finally go towards the light side of the force here. I'm just not that photographer yet, and I thought it would be beneficial to people to hear from somebody that is still in the learning process of making that switch entirely. So I don't know. If it's helpful, great. If not, sorry. At the very least, I hope this is an entertaining show for everybody to hear. So that is my promise. I will make more episodes. I hope you enjoy them, and I also hope that you participate. You can share your stories with us by sending a message to xlineshow@gmail.com, or just send me a message on the xline.com, the website that will be housing everything. Just go into this episode's show notes and leave a message or a comment in the messaging below. So that's it. That's all for this week. I will diligently work hard at making a proper episode 2, and I hope everybody is excited for the X Pro 2. I hope everybody's excited for all of Fuji's cool stuff. And I absolutely want to hear from you guys. I have seen so many cool Fuji photos and videos that it's just breathtaking. And for those of you who haven't seen these already, I really strongly suggest that you go onto YouTube and find the Fuji channels. I think they have a UK version, a North America channel, and a corporate version. I'm subscribed to all three of them, and all of them have various different videos, but Fuji has been doing an excellent job showcasing their cameras in little mini documentary segments. They're like between 3 and 5 minutes long, but one of the things that I absolutely enjoy, this is a guilty pleasure of mine, is watching these videos. And it's not just Fuji that I watch. I kind of started watching these little documentary type movies on YouTube. Phase One cameras got me started on that. And I'm a huge fan of Tim Kemple, who is very far from Fuji as it can be. But I mean, those kinds of little story, mini stories, just has me fascinated. And Fuji has made a bunch of them that are really, really worth watching. One of them is by Kevin Mullins. And there are plenty of landscape photographers in there, some sport photographers that are really cool to watch. Highly recommend checking those out. Those are really cool to see. So until then, I will see you guys next time. And for those of you who have listened in the past, for those of you who have stuck around, you know, I sincerely thank you for listening. And I hope that the episode one was entertaining. And I promise you that I will work very hard at making the proper episode two and onwards. So until then, take care, and I'll see you later. All music used in this episode comes from Bensound at bensound.com.